तेदं नित्यता युक्तो जपन अवहिता पुमान अचिरात् श्रेय आप्नोति वासुदेव परायणः. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. This is a real build-up. Previous verse plus this one. And then comes the stotra. Okay, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Perfection means becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna, as stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.28, Vasudeva Para Veda Vasudeva Para Maka. The ultimate goal of life is Vasudeva Krishna. Any devotee of Lord Krishna can attain all perfection, material gain, and liberation, simply by offering prayers to him. There are many varieties of prayers to Lord Krishna chanted by great sages and great personalities, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Krishna is known as Shiva Varinchi Nutam. That's from Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5, text 33. Shiva means Lord Shiva, and Varinchi means Lord Brahma. Both of these demigods are engaged in offering prayers to Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. If we follow in the footsteps of such great personalities and become devotees of Lord Krishna, our lives will become successful. Fortunately, people do not know this secret. They do not know that the real interest and the highest affection of life is to worship Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Bhagavatam 75.31. It is impossible to become satisfied by trying to ingest the external energy. Without being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one can only be baffled and confused. To save living entities from such a calamity, Lord Krishna points out in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam Janmanamante Janavan Mampapajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sutulabha. After many, many births and deaths, the wise man surrenders unto me, knowing very well that I, Vasudeva, am everything such a great soul is really there. He can achieve whatever benedictions we want, simply coming devotees of Vasudeva. So this is these stotras or prayers is the topic of the chapter. These are prayers that Lord Shiva is giving to the Kurukshetras. The chapter concludes, my dear sons of the king, the prayers I have recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I would advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful, and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail. This is the dovetail program. Because their specific application of why they're to chant these prayers is to produce praja. This is material. For that matter, what Lord Brahma does is material. He's the creator of the universe. In Sri Brahma Samhita, it In very simple language, there are three parts of Sri Brahma Samhita. There's what happens up till Brahma's realization. Then there's the prayers, Brahma Samhita prayers. And then what happens after that is, so Brahma has already attained all this realization. And he still has an issue confronting him. The issue is, he has to create. And he wants to create. Because he's empowered, or he's imbued with creative potency given to him by the personality of God, and he doesn't just want to, you know, create something simple. He's very qualified and he wants to create the universe. Very, very complicated. Try to create a mosquito. Prabhupada said to the scientist, create a mosquito. He's so good at creating things. A mosquito that's so small, it can fly in any direction at once, and it can reproduce, make another mosquito. Go ahead. You can make helicopters, and you can make fast planes. Make one mosquito. You can just hover in the air. Go this way, and go that way, and then drift. And if this can tank up its own fuel by, he uses properties with sticking his nozzle in some body and tank up and keep going. Make one mosquito. I'll give you the ingredient. Go ahead, make one mosquito. Anyway, so what to speak of the universe that's replete with all the varieties of species of life and mountains and trees and rivers and lakes and so much variety and so complicated. So Brahma has this impetus to create. Like the Pajetas have an impetus because they're asked to do so by their father to create Praja. And that's material. Creating universes and creating Praja, that's material. And Brahma places that before Lord Vishnu and says what to do. If I do this, I may very well become contaminated. Particularly the contamination is thinking that I'm the doer, like I created this universe. Or I produced these children, they're my children, because I produced them. I'm the father, I'm the mother. They're my children. Thinking I'm the doer. And that tendency is there with material, involved with material energy. So, can one take those things and do them in Krishna consciousness? So it's like, you know, something I like to do. I like to create universes, or I like to produce children. So I like to do that. So then, that's allowable in devotional service, so that's a dovetail. Something, I'm having this interesting dialogue with a teenage girl, you know, a congregation member, that she's getting it, that sense gratification is at the heart of the problem. Remarkable, but I mean, she's deeply getting it. And for anyone to deeply get it is remarkable, what to speak of a teenager. But how to overcome sense gratification? Because sense gratification urges are there. So what to do? And the solution is, whatever you do it for Krishna. So when the goal of life, that section from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is discussing with Ramananda Roy about the goal of life, what's the goal of life and how to achieve it, one of the verses that Lord Chaitanya rejects is the Do It for Krishna verse. Yes, Kuroji mentioned it last night. Yes, Kuroshi, yet is not, yes, Jehoti, the Dalai, yes. Whatever you do, do it for Krishna. And it's rejected by Lord Chaitanya as external. Because that verse, in and of itself, it's karma yoga. It's work for Krishna. Because I like to work, and Krishna can receive such and such work, so I work for Krishna. Making some offering to Krishna. That's different than the platform of service where there's no personal interest. There's no personal interest except Krishna's interest. But for oneself, no personal interest. Just the fact, the language of the last verse of this chapter is, and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail. So that's personal interest. I have a desired objective. I want to create a universe. Or I'm a Prajapati. I want to, like this section, I want to create nice children. Or even varieties of species, the Prajapatis have that test. That's a personal interest, looks like. And it can be, but it can also be simply a matter of service. And Prabhupada's differentiating, for example, a building, a very large building, and constructing a temple for a devotee. The former isn't something that gives them great excitement. The latter may be something that enthuses them very much. But the purpose of the temple is not for their own sense gratification. Of course, it can be, oh, I did it. I built a big temple. Tartaham, 15 mandirs. I want my name out of this flat. So that kind of thing goes on. Even in the realm of things directly for the service of the Supreme Lord. But the karma mishra bhakti, which is the topic that I'm discussing right now, how does one become free from karma tendencies or sense gratification tendencies as long as we're embodied? And the initial thought is, well, you dovetail those sense gratificatory propensities in service to Krishna, and they become cleansed and purified, and one becomes uplifted. So the program that's being recommended here is for the prajapas. Before they even begin their creating praja, they are to purify themselves, even speaking about this from these verses. First thing, purify yourself. So that there isn't any interest in something material. And then, if the same thing is done, it's minus material interest. The classic and perfect example is Dhruva Maharaj. I'll just do it really quickly. What was Dhruva Maharaj's program? I want a kingdom. And not just any kingdom, a big one, better than my father's father, than my father's father's father. I want a kingdom. So on the other end, I don't want the kingdom. But the Lord provided him the kingdom, minus the desire to be ruling kingdom. In fact, he was feeling very sorry that he had such contaminated motivation. And not only sorry for that reason, but when Lord Vishnu came and then left, he could have gone with Lord Vishnu, but because he had this desire, he had to stay and rule a kingdom. Well, his father came here for 60,000 years, and then in the north, the pole star, ruled there for a long period of time. But without the desire to be ruler, but now having the qualification to be a ruler, because it was without the wish to be a controller, it was just simply service. Service or service or service. And you're asking about the mood of service. That's the mood of service. But there's no self-interest. If Krishna says to his son, Pradyumna, I don't want you to do this. Okay. Even though he was thinking, I want to do it before. Or something he's not thinking he wants to do. I want you to do this. Oh, that's right. Because Krishna wants it, now I want it. Even though I wasn't thinking I wanted it before. It's not a consideration. It's what Krishna wants. Now, how to come to that consciousness of talking about it is one thing, living it is another thing. So, specifically, these stotras are intended, in fact, in a broader scale, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, but specifically these stotras glorifying the personality of Godhead, fixing the mind on the personality of Godhead, is meant for purifying one's existence. So that when you take up some service, it's with the mind fixed upon Krishna, engaging in some prescribed duty. Even if this prescribed duty is matching your psychophysical nature, which sounds like a dovetail. What's the inspiration or the drive behind it is Krishna should be pleased. That's the resolution of tendencies for sense gratification. And even mixed devotion where I like this and Krishna likes this and so I'll do this to Krishna. Whatever your desires are, connect your desires to serving Krishna. That's Karma Yoga, work for Krishna. So then, from the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, above that is following the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, so we can develop a desire to be with Krishna. Simply be with Krishna. And then the topmost is just be with Krishna. By always thinking of Him, and engaging one's intelligence, always in Him. One abides in Him, always, without a doubt. That's the unmixed devotion, or Shuddha Bhakti. So, conclusion. Their regulative practices, their prescribed activities, here's one of them, prayer, specific prayers, that are meant to purify us of all separate interests, all separate selfish interests that is apart from Krishna's interest. And one who follows that way can come to the platform of associating with Krishna. The reference in the purport was to Vasudeva Para Veda, Vasudeva Para Maka. So, what's the goal? Vasudeva. Within all the Vedas, Krishna is the goal. Vasudeva Para Veda. Within all Maka, sacrifice, Vasudeva Para Maka. Krishna is the goal. Whatever you do, Krishna is the goal. Take pleasing Krishna is the goal. If one can attain that stage, that the gift of the Vedas, if one can attain that stage by these means of purification described here, even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma follow them, one can achieve everything. And that everything is achieved in the shelter of Krishna. say? Any comments or questions? Nishtha, class one, is attained when anarthas are eradicated. That's the formula. And the formula for eradicating anarthas is defenseless chanting. And until that stage is attained, or until this nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevya, that's also nityam bhagavata sevya, that's the formula. Hearing regularly the Bhagavatam and serving regular persons who are representing and exhibiting the message of the Bhagavatam, that's the formula. And you will follow it. And progressively, as you follow it, that unsteadiness or the waning, fading nama you described, it's removed. It's a cloud that covers the sun. It's the metaphor used in Liberation and Dhamma. And when the cloud is removed, there's the direct sunlight. So when the clouds of anarthas are removed, then the waning doesn't happen. There's direct experience. And direct experience is very enlightening. It carries itself. Nothing can check it. Thank you very much. Santarashana Bhagavatam Ki Jai.